Chapter 12, Dealing with National Commissioners of Police. "It's not what you have, it's how you use it," so said Sipho Hotsticks Mabuza. The governing alliance in the new South Africa, led by the ANC, follows a policy known as CADA deployment. Officially entitled the CADA Policy and Deployment Strategy, its stated purpose is to allow the ANC to gain control over key centres of power as a means of advancing the National Democratic Revolution. What this means in practice is that it appoints party loyalists to positions of power and authority. This practice is not restricted to political appointments or positions in the civil service alone. According to careful research by Anthea Jeffrey of the South African Institute of Race Relations, CADA deployment is also meant to extend ANC control over parastatals, the judiciary, the media, business, universities, and influential organizations in civil society. Needless to say, given these priorities, the issue of whether those people are actually qualified to fill those positions in conventional terms takes a back seat. CADA deployment is unconstitutional and therefore actually illegal, but continues nevertheless. The South African Police Service is not exempt from this policy, despite the fact that policing is a profession, and dropping in CADAs through the ceiling of such a complex organization invariably has unintended consequences. The first CADA to lead the police was Jackie Selebi, a former exile with strong struggle credentials. He was close to President Thabo Mbeki, who tried to shield him from prosecution on charges of corruption in the run-up to the ANC's fateful national conference at Polokwane in December 2007, where the Zuma tsunami swept Mbeki and his cohorts out of power. In his efforts to shield Selebi, Mbeki suspended the then National Director of Public Prosecutions, Vusi Pikoli. Years later, Mbeki invoked national security as an excuse for doing so, stating that he feared a confrontational backlash from police loyal to Selebi, which could have led to violence or even civil war. These fears were not based in reality. No civil war erupted when Selebi was arrested, and certainly did not warrant the interference in Pikoli's independence or tenure, which is constitutionally guaranteed. Selebi was eventually prosecuted, convicted, and sentenced to 15 years imprisonment, but was given medical parole due to a serious kidney complaint and died shortly afterwards. Despite his CADA status and connectedness, the law was able to take its proper course, and the prosecution was able to discharge the heavy onus of proving him guilty of a corrupt relationship with Glenn Agliotti, a Johannesburg businessman of the less than conventional kind. The person chosen by newly appointed President Jacob Zuma to replace Selebi was a flamboyant KwaZulu-Natal politician, Becky Cheli, who some journalists referred to as the cat in the hat, due to his fondness for wearing a variety of these head-warming items of clothing. There was no need to inquire into his pedigree in the ANC. Cheli had served as MEC for Community Safety in President Jacob Zuma's home province, KwaZulu-Natal, and was a well-known and popular ANC leader. Vitally, he had known President Zuma for more than 20 years. The decision to deploy him as National Commissioner of Police was clearly a political one that was not informed in any way by his knowledge or experience of police management. The high rates of crime and the need to address the police's apparent inability to prevent and combat crime suggested that a big gun should be appointed. Instead of selecting a professional policeman or woman, Zuma used his powers of appointment to push Chaley into a position for which he was not suited. Chaley's bellicose attitude, his militarization of the police, and his penchant for a shoot-to-kill response to serious armed criminality endeared him to the public, reduced crime statistics, and deviated markedly from the human rights-oriented approach of the police in the early years of democracy. The police once again became a police force rather than a police service, and the rate at which police were killed in the line of duty crept up alarmingly. However, on the 1st of August 2010, it emerged that Chaley had been busy in other ways as well. In a page one lead, the Sunday Times reported that Chaley had concluded a dodgy 500 million rand property deal with billionaire businessman Rue Shabangu that would result in the police moving their Pretoria headquarters to a building Shabangu had bought only the previous week. The building was aptly named Middestad. Chaley had allegedly signed the deal to move police top brass, including the Minister of Police, Nati Mtetwa, his deputy, Fikile Mbalula, and administrative staff, to Shabangu's building almost 2 months before he had bought it. The deal had not at any stage gone out to tender, violating Treasury regulations that all contracts over 500,000 rand had to go through a competitive bid process. After 3 days of queries from the Sunday Times, the Department of Public Works could not explain why it had flouted Treasury rules. Shabangu confirmed that he had bought the 18-storey Middestad Sanlam Centre in Pretoria for 220 million rand the previous week and claimed he was still negotiating with the police. But the Sunday Times said it was in possession of a lease agreement for Middestad between Shabangu's company, Rue Property Fund, and the SAPS, signed by Chaley and Public Works official M.B. Tolani on 1st June. The lease would run for 10 years and specified that checks should be made out to Shabangu's company. Projected expenditure totaled more than 520 million rand. SAP's headquarters were housed in the Wachthuis building, just around the corner. It was owned by Encher Properties, which declined to disclose the rental it charged. However, a police insider said the Wachthuis lease was also worth about 500 million and was set to run for another 10 years. Therefore, unless the Wachthuis lease was cancelled, taxpayers could be forking out almost a billion rand in the next decade to house police headquarters. According to the Sunday Times, senior officials had serious reservations about the move. They don't understand why you should rent a new building when there is enough space at Wachthuis. It quoted an official close to police management as saying, "For 500 million rand, the Sunday Times noted, at least 10,000 new constables could be patrolling South Africa's streets." It also noted that Wachthuis owners, Encher Properties, belonged to the Mosoneke family, who were close allies of former President Thabo Mbeki. Shabangu, on the other hand, appeared to be well connected with the Zuma government. SAP's officials told the Sunday Times that Chaley had also signed a deal to move police in Durban to another building Shabangu was negotiating to buy. Shabangu was in Durban that Friday trying to clinch the deal, which he refused to elaborate on, saying negotiations were at a sensitive stage. He confirmed that police were due to move into his Pretoria building, claiming they wanted to leave Wachthuis as it was in poor condition. He also claimed the validity of Encher's Wachthuis lease was questionable. But Encher Properties CEO Dr. Sidisi Mosoneke told the Sunday Times his company had a lawful lease to accommodate police headquarters at Wachthuis and denied that there was anything wrong with the building. Subsequent media reports quoted property sources as saying that the rental deal was 3 times higher than the going rate for office space in the same area. This report set the alarm bells ringing at Accountability Now. The appropriate response, given that the Sunday Times protected its sources, was to complain to the public protector, Thuli Madonsela, about what appeared to be maladministration on a grand scale involving top police brass. It was not necessary to wait until Monday morning. The Office of the Public Protector has a dedicated email address for lodging complaints. So we sent off an email asking the Public Protector to investigate the allegations contained in the Sunday Times report on the grounds that they seem to reflect gross maladministration. The Public Protector did so and sent a preliminary report to Accountability Now for comment on the findings. This gave us an opportunity to draw attention to the requirements for the proper procurement of public goods and services as set out in the Constitution and the Public Finance Management Act. In short, procurement is meant to conform to five criteria: equity, fairness, transparency, competitiveness, and cost effectiveness. Chele was also given the chance to comment on the preliminary report. A final report followed, which recommended that a board of inquiry be appointed into his fitness to hold office. In her final report, the Public Protector found that the conduct of the accounting officers of the police, that is, Chele, and the Department of Public Works, in respect of the leases, was improper and unlawful. Accountability for budgetary control and the procurement of goods and services within all government departments lay with the accounting officer, who at all material times were the National Commissioner of the Police and the Director General of the Department of Public Works. The National Commissioner, as the accounting officer of the police, had acted in breach of those duties and obligations incumbent upon him in terms of the Constitution and the Public Finance Management Act. Section 217 of the Constitution, read with the Public Finance Management Act and the Treasury regulations, required accounting officers to ensure that goods and services were procured in a fair, equitable, transparent, competitive, and cost-effective manner. Section 237 provided that all constitutional obligations be performed diligently, all conduct inconsistent with the Constitution was legally invalid. The National Commissioner had withdrawn all delegations in respect of the procurement of goods and services over an amount of 500,000 rand, with effect from the 30th of September 2009. He was therefore solely responsible to ensure that the procurement of the lease, for as far as the involvement of the police was concerned, complied with these legal prescripts. The lease agreement with Rue Property Fund had been signed by the Department of Public Works and not the National Commissioner of the Police, as had been alleged. However, the National Commissioner had signed a memorandum authorising funding for the Sanlam Middelstad building lease, as well as a final police needs analysis referring to the exact extent of accommodation available in the Sanlam building. Although the police had not signed the lease agreement, its involvement in the procurement process was improper, as it had proceeded beyond the demand management phase and had further failed to implement proper controls as required by the Public Finance Management Act and relevant procurement prescripts. In the process, the police had failed to comply with Section 217 of the Constitution, the relevant provisions of the Public Finance Management Act, Treasury regulations, and supply chain management rules and policies. This amounted to improper conduct and maladministration. The conduct of the accounting officer of the police was also in breach of those duties and obligations. The provisions required an accounting officer to ensure that goods and services were procured in a fair, equitable, transparent, competitive, and cost-effective manner. This conduct was also improper, unlawful, and amounted to maladministration. On the evidence available, the report noted, it could not be found that the deviation from required tender procedures had been motivated by an improper relationship between the preferred service provider, the Rue Property Fund, and the police. The report recommended that the Minister of Police, assisted by the National Treasury, should take urgent steps to ensure that appropriate actions were taken against the National Commissioner and other police officials involved. The police should implement appropriate measures to prevent a recurrence of contraventions of the relevant procurement legislation and prescripts. The appropriate action envisaged by the Public Protector took the form of the Molloy Board of Inquiry into Chailey's conduct, as well as the leases in Pretoria and Durban. The board did not have powers of search and seizure or the power to subpoena unwilling witnesses. Shabangu did not give evidence, but Chailey did, condemning himself in the process. The board recommended that Chailey be dismissed and investigated for corruption. The dismissal followed, but a corruption investigation did not, as Chailey took the findings of the board on review, alleging bias and irrationality. The review was eventually postponed indefinitely without being resolved. Chailey found his way onto the list of ANC candidates for Parliament in 2014 and then into the cabinet of Jacob Zuma, who had dismissed him as Commissioner of Police. At the time of writing, he was Deputy Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, a fate very different to that of Mbeki's man, Jackie Salebi. At the time of dictating, Chele is Minister of Police, and the investigation of the two leases from a criminal perspective still continues. Chele was succeeded as Commissioner of Police by Ria Piecha, a social worker by training, with later experience as a parastatal board member. After the Marikana tragedy, in which a police task force shot and killed 34 striking miners and wounded 78 more, the Farlam Commission of Inquiry recommended that her fitness for office be investigated. In September 2015, President Zuma established a board of inquiry chaired by Judge Cornelius Claassen and assisted by advocates Bernard Kuswayo and Anusha Roji to investigate Piecha's conduct and her fitness to hold office. He then suspended her summarily in October, pending the outcome of the inquiry. Following widely publicized hearings, the board completed its work in late May 2016 and was due to report in August. It is a poor reflection of the wisdom of South Africa's political leadership that three successive commissioners of police should fall from grace, as Salebi, Chailey and Piecha have done, in so short a period of time. Piecha had barely been appointed when the Marikana tragedy took place. The unwillingness of the presidency to appoint a career policeman or woman to head the police is lamentable and can only be explained by a strong desire to exercise tight political control over the successive incumbents, lest they perform their duties in ways that do not suit the national leadership. The police, like all other civil servants, are constitutionally obliged to observe a high standard of professional ethics and to deliver services fairly, equitably, and without bias. It is a measure of the fragility of the South African state that this does not occur. Chele's rehabilitation is remarkable. Piecha's testimony in front of the Farlam Commission was deplorable. An attempt was made to cover up police activity on the day of the Marikana shooting and sustained after evidence leaders had uncovered the truth or part of it. Piecha's performance under cross-questioning did not inspire confidence in her probity and integrity. Salebi's fate speaks for itself. These outcomes will continue to plague our public administration until proper human resource management practices are applied across the board and the ANC terminates its cadre deployment policy that has so bedeviled our national development. Whether the political will exists to do so in the interests of strong institutions and good governance aligned to the UN's sustainable development goals remains to be seen. Accountability Now will continue to work towards a dispensation in which accountability is exacted from all those in positions of authority whether in the private or the public sector, and responsiveness to the needs of ordinary people is promoted. Accountability does matter. It is fundamental to the rule of law, which in turn is fundamental to peace, progress, and prosperity.